Blog Talk Radio. I don't know about the rest of you, but I love this time of the day. I love how the cool, crisp night air kisses the ground, leaving behind a gentle layer of dew. I love looking up into the night sky and seeing the moon shining down upon us like an old, trusted friend. I look forward to spending our Thursday nights here together on Blog Talk Radio as we travel together on this journey into the night.
Glad you are with us tonight, and I know we're going to have a great show tonight, so got a great guest coming, so it's exciting.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. We're continuing our theme for October. As everybody knows, this is our one-year anniversary of being on Blog Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a whole We've done so many great shows and met so many wonderful, wonderful people. Our guest tonight is a returning guest. So I know we're going to have a great time. Lisa, you got anything exciting you want to share with our listeners before we get started with our show tonight?
I have finished my book, The Moon People. That's exciting. And off to the editor, so I'm waiting to get it done and out. So I'm hoping to get it done before Halloween. But if not, we'll have it out in November. So that's exciting. And you've got a new book coming out too. So that's exciting.
Yes, I do. Yeah, Boding Evil. It's my first paranormal horror. It's already come back from the editor. Now it's off to the proofreaders. And so hopefully I'll have that ready and available for Halloween. And woohoo, this is fun, huh?
It is fun.
Okay. Well,
got new books out, so that's great.
Got new books, yeah. And I want to remind everybody that starting November 1st, my Christmas story, Saying Goodbye, The Christmas Gift, it's going to be starting on November 1st to be available for pre-orders. So get out there and grab it, because I'm also, when you buy the e-book, you're going to get a free audiobook copy with it, so you can read it or listen to it either way. So anyway, I'm excited about that, and I'm recording it myself, so big endeavor for me.
I know, you've got such a lovely voice, so that's awesome.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Well, anyway, okay, now that we've pimped ourselves, let's get ready to bring in our guest. We are, I just can't believe it, we have Dan Copeland. He's joining us again tonight. Now, we had him on earlier with us, but I'm going to refresh everybody about Dan. Dan was born and raised in New York City, New York. Dan is a graduate of the prestigious New York University Film School, the Cobray Counterterrorist Training Facility in Marietta, Georgia, and Southwestern University School of Law, and he's a practicing attorney in the state of California. Dan started making movies when he was just 14 years old with his grandfather's old movie camera. He then went on to perform numerous duties in his career, such as producer, writer, director, editor, cinematographer, soundtrack, and miscellaneous crew duties. A short list of his many projects include Hell Comes to Frogtown, 1988, Wishman, 1992, The Dragon Gate, 1994, Dawn of Our Nation, 2001, Save Me, 2006, Growing Up Smith, 2015, A Journey to a Journey, 2016, and The Burbus, which is in, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'm sorry, Dan will have to correct me if I'm wrong, which is in post-production for 2016. However, tonight, Dan is wanting us to talk about his exciting dark paranormal tale titled Let It Be. So that's a perfect thing to be doing for the month of October for Halloween, because Lisa and I have both read the book, and it's a good book, and it's definitely perfect for Halloween.
It is.
Anyway, it is. Oh, yeah. So let's bring Dan on and give him a warm and welcome to Deadly Reads Radio. Hi, Dan. How's it going?
Oh, pretty good. Thanks so much for having. Greetings, everyone.
Oh, we're always glad to have you on with us, Dan. Okay.
It's good to be back.
Oh, wonderful. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now as far as your movies before we start on your book. We'll kind of go into that real quickly, because I know once we get started on your book, it's gonna take a while. So
yeah.
Why don't you touch on your recent, your current movie projects?
Okay, so I think since we last spoke, I did a zombie movie, which was called Z-Burbs. And that just got finished, and I get killed by zombies in that one. And then I also did a short film called Reap, where I play Death, coincidentally. So that was a lot of fun, and it turned out very nicely. And then a documentary I produced called The Lost City of Cecil B. DeMille was shown at the Rhode Island International Film Festival, and then in the Montreal World Festival, and we're going to be showing it at the Napa Valley Film Festival here in Northern California the week of November 9th through the 13th. There'll be three screenings there. So been pretty busy with that, and then, you know, the other things I have been doing have been you know, promoting my book, Let It Be, as best I can, and acting classes, trying to act my age finally. Little chance of that happening. But that and then, you know, that's pretty much what's been going on.
Wow, sounds like you've been busy then. It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, so tell us a little bit about Zverbs real fast. I mean, you said zombies, so what's the premise of it?
Well, it's actually a really delightful film. It's a film actually from the female perspective. It's a story about a housewife who's struggling to make ends meet, and all of a sudden her husband becomes infected and becomes a zombie, and she and her best friend and her husband and her brother have to plot and scheme to keep him alive. While the government's chasing them and they're fighting off other zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a dark comedy. It's one of those films where all of a sudden you find yourself breaking out, laughing out loud because there's just so much funny stuff in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now where will we be able to see this at?
We don't have a release date yet, but it's going to come out probably next year.
Okay.
If you follow me on Facebook or follow me on Twitter, you'll be seeing announcements by that. And I think the Zverbs film has its own website and Twitter handle. So I'm sure there'll be some announcements there, but it's a really cute little film.
Yeah.
And, I hope it'll do well.
Well, when it comes out, you'll have to come back on and promote it, and we'll help you any way we can to promote it.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm all about zombies. I love zombies.
She does. she gets on me all the time because I don't watch that one zombie show on TV. I'm like, I'm just not into it. She's like, oh, Lindy, you have to. It's really funny you talk about that, though, because I guess it was last week my husband woke up, and he's like sitting in his, you know, he comes out and he sits in his chair, eyes up a little bit before he was, and I go, what's wrong with you? I just had the worst dream. I go, what? He goes, I hadn't even, he's going through this whole thing. Well, the whole premise of it was, is we ended up all getting killed by zombies, the family. And I looked at him, I said, where the heck did that come from? He goes, I have no idea, because neither one of us watch anything zombie.
Right.
In this dream, the whole family, you know, Bob and I, the kids, the grandkids, you know, we're all hanging out at this carnival, and it, you know, and we all end up dead, you know, by the zombies eating us. So, yeah.
You have to be careful when zombies are nearby.
That's right.
apparently.
Oh.
Okay. Well, like I said at the beginning of the show, Dan sent Lisa and I each a copy of his book, Let It Be, and requested that we read it before the show. So we both read it, and it's a good book, Dan. It really, truly is.
It really is.
Why don't you give us a short little synopsis for the readers? I mean,
sure.
For the listeners on the show.
Sure. Well, it's kind of a paranormal, dark fantasy thriller, supernatural thriller, and the premise is, what if death fell in love? And it's set on the eve of the Day of the Dead, or All Saints Day. And it's infused with this incredible mystical energy. And the story begins when our lead character, Yates Dane, sets out to try and find his wife's killer and avenge her murder. And he meets Death, and he's seduced by Death, who takes the form of a woman. And this wild and fantastic game of cat and mouse begins, in which everything goes wrong.
It does. Now, I have one thing to say about this. Through the entire story, and I'm going to be very careful not to give any spoilers, because if anybody's like me, they hate spoilers. But, you know, he's going on this, you know, like he said, he's trying to find out who killed his wife. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Dan, being the great writer that he was in this, he gives you a few people that, you know, is it this one or is it that one? And I have to admit, I can think, okay, I know it's this guy, it's this one, I know it's this one. Crap, no, it's not. You know, a little bit later, oh, okay, it's this and this. crap. It's not that one. You know. And then I think, well, no, maybe it was that other one. And you had me bouncing back and forth, going crazy, trying to figure out who it was. I was stuck on one character for quite a while, thinking, I really do think it's this one. And then I have to honestly admit at the end of the book, I was totally, completely wrong. So,
right.
You did good.
That happened to me, too. I had everybody get, you know, I went through each character. It's like, they done it. Same thing. So, and I was wrong.
Yeah. But that's good, though. That makes for a good story. If you think you have it figured out, and then a little bit later you think, well, no, this has happened. So, no, it can't be that. It has to be this one. And you go through all those changes. So, but I hands up, kudos to you. I never did figure it out. And I was at the end, I was like, oh, I didn't see that coming. So. So you
Thank
did
you
good.
So much.
Good
it sounds
good
like
job.
I did my job.
You did it. And I like the way you wrote it in your style of writing. I like that. So
okay.
I've tried to write like that, and I can't write like that. I have to do my style. So. Is that how you write all your? Is that how your style is in all of your books?
Well, this is the only book I've written so far.
Yeah. Okay.
Usually, I've been writing screenplays, and screenplays are a little bit simpler to write. In screenplays, you're just writing pretty much dialogue and action with some description, but in very simple declarative sentences. So. I'm not sure exactly what my style is. I know I did go off the rails in a few places and wax a little poetic, but I like to paint pictures with words, and sometimes the inspiration gave me a bit more color to play with than in some other instances.
I liked it. So
Now you had wanted to know who we considered our favorite characters in the book.
Yeah.
With me, it was Estrom and Neve. Is that how you pronounce her name?
Neve.
Those two.
Okay.
I love their interaction. Yes, I love their interaction. I know I'm dark and twisted. I can't help it. Dang, Elisa, you should know that about me now.
I'm the romantic type, because I chose Itram and Yates.
Yeah.
I like them, so I guess that's the romantic side of me.
I liked the interaction. I liked how, I'm worried about spoilers. That's what I'm worried about.
Okay.
You know, I like the way that their structure was and what they had to do, so I really like that. I don't know how to put it into words without, giving too much away.
Well,
if you want to say things, Dan, you can say things. I don't want to.
I think what you're trying to say is one was in the middle of a struggle, a really deep struggle with something, and the other one was concerned about. I think they were friends. It seemed like they were friends.
Well, like
and so the other was concerned about her friend, but she didn't know what to do. She didn't know how to help her friend. But
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah,
it
was
a good
interaction.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed, and I enjoyed like when they would go out and they would perform their duty.
Right.
The interaction between them and the interaction between those that they were having to go do the job with. If you want to say, Dan, what these people are, you can say it. I'm not going to do it because I don't want to get
Well,
them,
you know, on their what they do, that would look great. I was picturing that in my mind because I was thinking, those scenes that you're talking about would be fantastic on the big screen,
up in the yellow car. I love the idea. Why did you choose yellow for the car? Is there symbolism
there? Yeah, Well, not to give too much away, but, you know, those characters represent, you know, the decay and the end of life in this particular universe. And it's a lot of people look at that and they say, oh, it has to be black or purple. But, you know, the end of one story is the beginning of another story. So yellow is a really optimistic color. So I picked yellow for their car because it was, you know, like I said, it's a new beginning. The duties that they perform is the start of a new beginning for the people that they interact with.
Okay, I figured that's what it meant, because I thought he didn't choose black, which would have been stereotypical, you know, color.
Right.
True. You know, I mean, yellow is so opposite of black, you know, this
color
opposite, you know. So I figured that's what you were going for. People, I mean, this is a great story, his spin on death. You know, I love how you laid out the organization of it, you know, that there's certain rules and there's organization and, you know, beyond, you know, the normal. In most stuff, people see the Grim Reaper, you know, they come get you, hauls it off. It kind of, in a way, the way you did these characters, you know, the death characters, reminded me of that, what was that show, the one where the girl, she gets hit by the satellite, she dies and she becomes a Grim Reaper. What's that show called?
I don't know.
Gosh, I can't remember. Dang nabbit. I should have wrote it down. I thought of it early and I couldn't remember it. But it was a show about their Grim Reapers in this show. And they look like regular people. And they come and, you know, they do the touch and they take this, release the spirit so the spirit's not trapped, you know. And, you know, and it's like, okay, that's really quite cool, you know, but you took it a little step further, you know, in your, you know, your way of showing it, that there was, it's much more, I don't know, much more complex. And, you know, I do like how you did that. I wish I could remember that show.
Thank you.
Called.
Is that the one with Jennifer Love Hewitt, the one crossing over something like
that? No, that's Ghost Whisperer. This is the one, it was a little show. It was a, Manny Penny or whatever his name was starred in it, and she played. She came back. She played a Grim Reaper, and she worked in a temp service. And I can't remember the name of the show. Oh, my life! I can't remember. Death Like Me. That's it. Death Like Me.
Yeah,
so it reminded me. There was a little, you know, because yours was not as quirky as that, because that was a quirky little show, but. You know, it's the play on the idea of the Grim Reaper not necessarily having to be this dark, gruesome, hooded being.
Right.
You know.
So,
yeah, cool.
What were your favorite chapters or scenes that said, wow, where you said, wow, I didn't, that was pretty cool?
For me, it was the, my favorite scenes and chapters were the, without giving, you know, too much away, the moment was where Yates was torn between his love, you know, torn between love and revenge. So there, you know, and I love that whole interaction there. I mean, he was really torn, and I think you did very well in showing him really trying to decide which way he was going to go. And then, of course, you know, there was a lesson there about choosing love or choosing revenge, you know, and the consequences and things. So, and then the final scene between them.
Yeah.
I like that, of selflessness. It showed a real genuine selflessness. So I like that. Those were my favorite scenes. Yeah,
those are good. Yeah, I agree. There was a lot of favorite scenes that I liked in there. You know, you know, I like I said, I loved, you know, the scenes when, you know, the interaction between death and those that are dying. I love that. You know, how, you know, you portrayed that people really kind of know when it's their time. You know, and you know, and you know, some may fight against it, but others are prepared. They know the time has come, you know. And
yeah.
I got a big kick out of the whole runner idea. I was laughing during that thing.
Yeah.
Because I could visually see it in my head, you know, I'm thinking, how are you going to get away from death? You're going to die. You just don't run away from death, you know.
Right. Well, you can try.
My little sick, twisted mind, I was kind of chuckling because I was visualizing that in my head, you know. But, I'm not going to give a spoiler like I said, but I love the way you close the book.
Mm-hmm.
The way I close it? Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
It was very
well, I think it gives hope. I think that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Not to get religious or anything, but I don't, you know, some people don't believe that there is life after death. I happen to be one that I do believe there is life after death. I don't know exactly how it is, and I don't know how it's going to be, you know, but I can't imagine thinking, okay, you know, when I die, they're just going to put my body in the grave and that's it. There's no more me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the ending of this gave, it's mm-hmm. gave hope to someone who might think, oh, you know, that's how they feel. Because that would be such a bleak thought, is to think when I'm dead,
mm-hmm.
I'm dead and there's nothing else left of me. But to think that I get to go to another level or to go to a different place, you know, some people call it paradise, some people call it heaven. You know, there's several beliefs out there. But I think that the main point is that there is life beyond these physical bodies, you know, from the
mm-hmm.
physical life that we are at now. So I like
mm-hmm.
that. Mm-hmm. Well, I like the fact that, it, you know, I mean, I myself am a firm believer in reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a Christian, but I also believe that there is reincarnation. I believe that our souls return, you know. Not going to get biblical or anything like that. The rest of my personal beliefs.
That's a hard conversation. It's a difficult conversation.
It is a hard one.
It is a hard one.
But,
yeah.
You know, I believe it because I've experienced the feeling of meeting a soul that
mm-hmm.
I know I knew before.
Right.
You know, my husband, we have been together now over 30 years. The first night I met him, I would have never thought he was anybody that I'd be interested in. And I remember sitting across the table at a Denny's restaurant, and I was out, and he's sitting across the table talking to the guy that I was with. And they're talking, and I'm looking at him across the table, and I didn't know why, but I felt a deep emotional, almost spiritual pull to him.
Mm-hmm.
Never seen him before, never met him before, had no idea who he was. He was a mess because he was having a lot of drama at the point. That's what the two guys were talking about, with some drama he had come up in his life. And I'm just sitting there listening. And I will swear this until my dying day, but I knew at that moment, somehow, some way, he and I were going to be in each other's lives. It was going to be something very important because we had been that way before.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, now I didn't see him for like 3 weeks. And the friend that I was sitting there with brought him over to my apartment one night. And him and I got together, and we've been together ever since. You know, and...
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I knew him, you know, and
mm-hmm.
it was so familiar. So I firmly believe that our souls go through eternity. We find each other over and over again as we grow and we learn and progress in whatever the spiritual realms are. And, you know, so that's why this book really touched me in certain points, you know, when the wish was asked in the book. You know, I thought, okay, I understand that feeling, you know,
right.
that you know, she was going through at that moment. So that's where I come from on the whole topic. I know, Toby, but hey, it's what it is.
Yeah, I really think you hit the nail on the head with that, because I also believe in reincarnation through my Buddhist practice. And a lot of the mechanics of the story and the plot revolve around what it means to be able to return to Earth as a human. It's a very rare thing. It's a great privilege. And not every soul, you know, based on your karma and your acts in the past and present life, and, you know, the state of your life condition when you leave this existence to go to the next, all determine, you know, the consequences of how and if and when you'll return as a human. So that was some of the and you hit on it brilliantly, that you know, that was some of the underlying plot devices that I wove in there for this story.
Oh, I really understood. I picked up on it immediately, you know. And you know, it's just something that if the person has never experienced it, they may not understand it and they think it's foolishness.
Right.
But it's real. It truly is real, you know. And there's other people, you know, I've always believed there's some people you meet in your life that they may not be this, you know, oh, this mad love or whatever. But some people you meet, you almost instantly meet them, you don't like them, and you don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always thought, well, maybe we bumped heads in the previous life, you know. And there's
Well, do you think, now this may be a stupid question, but do you think that's kind of like a, like I've experienced deja vu? Am I off on that? Is that sort of kind of like, is that like that, or no?
Well, I, you know, I think that sometimes you can meet a person and the echoes of past lives will certainly resonate with you. I don't know if that's deja vu so much.
Right. Right.
But, you know, the thing is that the karma, the actions and that we do in, while we're in the human form kind of travel with us throughout all of our existences until we, you know, expiate them through, you know, enlightened action. So, and, you know, if you don't learn, it's like you're with people because you have to learn how to change your karma. So if you don't get it right in this lifetime, you're going to be with them together in the next lifetime until you can, you know, and change. So, you know, that was the thing. I don't know if you read Tina Turner's book, I, Tina, but she had a very difficult in relationship with Ike Turner. And, you know, she ultimately believed that they had been together in past lifetimes and that was her conclusion as well as to why she was, you know, suffering so much in this lifetime and why she had the same suffering again in this lifetime. So,
Well, I always tell my husband the reason that he got stuck with me again in this life is because apparently he screwed up and was mean to me in the last life. So this is why I'm here to torment him in this one. I'm joking. I'm joking. But no, it's a wonderful thing, you know. I mean, I would not be a bit surprised if in a previous life Lisa and I weren't friends. Because we have never met each other face-to-face to where we could touch each other. It's all been phone, internet, stuff like that. But I feel such a strong pull towards her, you know. You know, a real strong pull. And I think that there's something on a spiritual level between even her and I, because I just really do, you know. I felt it almost immediately when we started being friends. So.
Right, I agree.
Right.
Anyway, let's see here. You wanted to know the visceral effect. Well, I told you that because I definitely felt the reincarnation stuff. Yes, it was a very optimistic story, especially the ending. Don't want to give the spoilers away, but,
okay.
You know, I want to just let the readers know, you'll start out, you'll kind of like go, okay, this is really cool. This is interesting. Now,
I didn't think it was an optimistic story at first. I mean, it When I first started reading it, I was like, oh, it's awful. It's sad. You know, it's sad.
Yeah.
Not awful. It was, I mean, it was sad, you know, and
mm-hmm.
everything. And then as you continue to read the story, you things start opening up and you start seeing that the ending is not as bad as it, you know. You know, you shouldn't fear death. I mean, I used to fear death, but maybe it's with age, but as I'm getting older, I don't fear death so much. And so I like this story because it kind of took the sting, the fear away, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense. So I really, by the end of the story, it did become an optimistic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, that's great. That's kind of the other one of the other things that inspired me to write this story. And you hit it right on the head when that is, you know, we live in kind of a black and white universe where if we're
mm-hmm.
alive and it's white, and when we pass, it's black. But
mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we deny the blackness and we don't fully appreciate the white side while we have it. And
mm-hmm.
you know, the fear of death kind of puts us in a denial of that component. But it's really counterintuitive because we have knowledge that indeed at some point in time we will pass from this existence. We really need to embrace the time that we have now.
That's true.
And live our life
yeah.
fully, so
true.
that when we get to the end of our days, we have, you know, truly done our best. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I think the fear of death comes from not truly embracing that knowledge.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm. right.
And that was one of the other things, you know, one of the things that I wanted
yeah.
to explore in this book was that dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is we shelter ourselves too much from death nowadays. You know, back 100 years ago, you had the family, they had the body there, they took a wig, everybody came in.
Right.
Nowadays, we shelter ourselves. We deny death in a way.
Right.
You know, we don't prepare our children, you know, for the potential of death. You know, last year, I had a really bad health episode, and I nearly
mm-hmm.
died. And, you know, it scared my grandchildren when they were brought to the hospital room to see Grandma because I had the oxygen thing, I had the tubes, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it looked pretty bad, you know. And they were afraid, you know, and I shished my daughter out of the room. And I sat there and I talked to them, you know, and I explained to them that Grandma's not going to die right now, you know. But I wanted them to understand that the day was going to come eventually where, you know, Grandma and Grandpa weren't going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, not to fear it, you know. And, you know, it's so funny, this last weekend they came and we babysat them. Our daughter had to do some work. She's a police officer and she does a lot of extra work, you know.
Right.
And so we had the grandkids for the night. And we decided to go on a Dairy Queen run, you know. Too cute, go get ice cream. And but the granddaughter wanted to go with me, and she was teasing me because I don't walk as fast as I used to. Well, I had, you know, heart problems, and so I'm not as quick as I used to be. And I said, hey, quit teasing your grandma. I'm getting there. I'm slow, but I get there, you know. And she goes, Grandma, are you still sick? She goes, can't you take a pill to get better? I said, well, Grandma takes pills. We're getting better, but I'll never be as good as I was when I was young. I said, Grandma's older now. And so I had to give her the whole talk again, you know. I finally just told her, I said, don't worry about it. I said, Grandma's going to be old and tripping people with a cane. And she thought that was really funny. So I'm trying to prepare them because people just don't talk to their children about death anymore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I want her to realize there's nothing to be afraid about. It's the normal stage of life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Didn't need a rattle off, but that's just something that, we don't prepare, people aren't prepared for death. And that's why stories like this, you know, it's a good one because people really need to sit and evaluate what they truly, how they feel on a personal level about death.
That's true.
And what it means
mm-hmm.
to them.
Yeah.
So did you guys like the title? Did you think the title was appropriate?
Yes. No. No. Yes and no.
Okay.
Now, Lisa thought it was perfect.
Right.
I did. I thought it was great. Go ahead.
I think it's good, but I think you could use a subtitle to go with it because me, the first thing I thought was the Beatles song.
Right.
Wrong opinion, I'm sorry. But, but yeah, I mean, what if you read the whole book, it makes sense before it. I could see maybe you adding a subtitle to go with it that kind of clarifies it a little bit so people understand
right.
when
mm-hmm.
you see the title.
Right.
So, just my humble opinion.
Well,
yeah,
that's...
I liked it. I kind of had read it, and once you start reading the book and everything, I think the title fits perfectly because you can't. I think the whole point of the story was that you can't run from death. You know,
mm-hmm.
If death is after you, it's going to come, and whatever comes your way, if whatever is your fate. In any situation, if that's the way it's meant to be, that's the way it's going to be. So you might as well just relax, you know, and let it happen
mm-hmm.
and not fight it. So, yeah, I thought it was a great title for it.
I just meant on the marketing sense. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The first title was, it was called The Next Message.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But then it morphed into Let It Be based on the quote from Hamlet.
Mm-hmm.
Which
mm-hmm.
is on the first page of the book.
Mm-hmm.
It stuck. What can I say?
Oh, I like it. Yeah.
Well, it's good. Once you get into it, it makes sense. It's like, oh, okay. I'm just saying,
yeah.
first at
mm-hmm.
a first glance, that's all I was talking about. Just a marketing
yeah.
sense is all I was talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
But now you're
right.
off. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Lisa.
No, go ahead.
What? I was going to say, you asked in here if it was going to be cast as a movie, what characters would play. First of all, I think it'd make a great movie. Just wanted to throw that
Thank
in.
You.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really do. Actors, I don't have any idea. Do you have any idea? I've been really pondering this question since I got
Yeah,
out of
I
it.
Had my characters picked out immediately as I was reading them. I mean, I love Liv Tyler, and I think,
mm-hmm.
or Kate Beckinsale. Either one
right.
of those ladies would be perfect for Etrim. I hope I'm saying that right.
You got it. You got it.
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
she
I
would
can,
be good for that. Let's try to be perfect.
I could
yeah.
see. Yeah, I could see either one of those ladies in that character because she was tough, you know, but yet there was a gentle side to her as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've seen both of these. Ladies in roles, you know, like that. So, and Yates, I like Gerard Butler. I think he is I knew you were going to laugh at that. But no, honestly, I really did see, I do see him in this role because Yates is, he's vulnerable, but he's strong. He has a lot of, inner battles going on, and I think Gerard could pull that off. And Sean Bean, I think he'd
mm-hmm.
be a good Stanton.
Okay.
Yeah, he's good in everything he does. And Bradford, I was torn between several. I like Mark Wahlberg, and he does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he would be good. And Emily Kinney. Would be great in as the part of Nev. She was from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So
yep.
Those were my picks for the
there
for the
go.
Characters.
Lisa filled it up for you.
Yeah. There you go.
I'll go call them up right now. And say
yeah,
Lisa
you
says you should do this.
Tell them I said yeah.
Don't upset Lisa.
That doesn't
right.
surprise me that Lisa would choose Gerard Butler because I mean she sees him in everything pretty much.
Okay.
Well, I mean, he is. I mean, he's a great actor. He's one of the best actors. And I mean, not to get off on it, but my favorite actors are Gerard Butler and Tom Cruise. I love those
okay.
guys. I think they are brilliant actors. So that's who I would choose.
Okay, cool. Those are great choices. I actually had Liv Tyler and Kate Beckinsale on my list as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then hadn't thought about Gerard Butler. I was actually going to play Yates myself for a while.
Oh, that'd be cool. I was thinking, you would be great in that too. But I was thinking, known act, would be great.
Yeah. And then Emily Kinney is a great suggestion. I didn't know about her, but yeah, I looked her up. She looks great.
Oh yeah, she's a great actress.
What else can I tell you? So did you I think I asked you already if the things that surprised you. About it. Was there anything about it that you didn't understand?
And it's nothing against your writing, but I had a really hard time with the warrior scene. But it's because I don't read those kind of books normally.
Oh, the Jobutsu chapter?
Yeah, the one where the battle and the warriors and all the names.
Right.
That's because I don't normally read that genre.
Right.
So I had a difficult time with that. I mean, it wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. It's just on my personal level, I had a hard time with it because I just don't normally read that kind of stuff.
Got it.
But I think you were tying that in with the story itself. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that actually was a separate idea for another movie. And as I was writing this book, it occurred to me that the characters in the Jobutsu story are kind of like the prequel or the origin story,
mm-hmm.
as they say in the comic
mm-hmm.
book world.
Right.
So this was the life they had before this lifetime, in a sense.
Right.
So that's why I included it. And I had a lot
Yates
of fun writing
was
that.
Actually, in the story, Yates was a writer.
Right.
So, and this was his story that he was writing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I could see where it fit in. And, okay.
Yeah. Well, even Lisa,
so that
the first
makes
thing
sense.
She said
this
was, oh, my
Yates
God, that would be a great book.
Yeah.
Well, even Lisa said when she first talked, when we first talked about it, she says, oh, my God, that part would be a great book all on its own. So,
yeah.
I make
write a sequel for Jobutsu, I think.
I think you should. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, mm-hmm. you were tying that in as Yates and Etram's past lives, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, she was one, excuse my French, badass in that life. Wow.
Yeah. That was awesome.
She was tough, man. I was like, holy smokes. I'm like, man, she's tough.
Yeah. I like that, and I could see where you were tying it in at. I liked how you did that. You know, you thought that you brought the reader to the memories of him telling the story to his wife.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
It fit in there pretty good. So, but yeah, the only thing that I was that I got a little confused on was the Eternity Bridge and some of the things that were going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was great. It was a great read, and it was an interesting read. But yeah, I just wasn't clear on some of the stuff that was going on.
You mean
on.
When he gets sent into outer space?
Yeah, into outer space, or yeah.
To travel through time.
Lisa and I were both talking about it. We were both saying, "Did he go to another dimension?" Or we just figured you were talking way over our heads, because you're into that deep stuff more than we are. So we thought, wow. So that's what is that where it took him to? Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of Carlos Castaneda type things where you go
mm-hmm.
through a crack in the universe, and you see things differently. And in a sense, there's a famous passage in the Lotus Sutra called the ceremony in the air. And what happens is that the Buddha in India lifts up all the people who are visiting him into the air. And and then the treasure tower appears, which is this great allegory for the vastness and joy of what human life. And then he takes them back down. And so it's, you know, so in this sense, Etram is forming the production, is kind of acting like a Buddha when she pushes Yates into this next dimension, because she raises him up, in a sense, enlightens him as to the possibility of what their relationship together could be. And then he lands back down in a different place.
It was interesting. I loved it. I enjoyed it, and it was interesting. I just didn't comprehend all of it, you know. So that makes sense. I'm glad you explained that. And so,
I figured it was. I was hoping it was another dimension. So it makes me feel good at least. So basically, she just transported into like a different dimension, then, correct?
Sort of. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I kind of thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, folks, I tell you what, if you get this book, you will not be disappointed at all.
Yeah.
We've been so worried about giving too many spoilers tonight. It's hard because there's a lot of good things we could really be talking about, but we don't want to ruin it for any potential readers out there. We want them to have the joy of discovering the story themselves, like we got to discover it, you know.
The story... The story overall was a wonderful story. I think it put into perspective what was truly important, you know, in life. Not being selfish. We spoke of this earlier in the conversation, you know, treasuring the moments with our family and our friends and those that we love. So that's that's really what I got out of the story, and I, as I said earlier too, the death is not that scary, you know, and so I like that.
Very, very well done. Wonderful meeting, and I think what's so nice about it is like Lisa and I both took something different out of it. And so I'm sure that everybody will take out of it what touches them on an emotional level, you know, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing when you can touch each reader on a personal level, you know. That's a wonderful gift.
I think as a writer or as a creator, I always want to try and tell a story that the person who's reading it or the person who's watching it actually brings a part of themselves to it, so that it enriches their experience as they're reading it or watching it.
Well, too, I know we discussed this earlier. You certainly poured yourself into this story because there was a particular part where you were telling about him, a younger Yates, being sick and near death when he was young, when he's a teenager, and that was your own story. So I found that interesting, and that was motivating. That was a great story, and wow, you went through a lot. So I enjoyed reading that.
But you know, having had that experience so young, you know, when I was going through it, obviously I wasn't particularly happy about it, but. As I got older, it was such a way to really forge my soul and my will, and to really have a really different perspective on life that I don't think, you know, a lot of people get until they're older. I thought, you know, it ended up being kind of a blessing in many respects, having nearly died when you're 14.
I think that's what happens to a lot of us is sometimes we go through things that we absolutely do not, we obviously do not want to go through, and we're hating it through the whole situation. But then we look back after we come through it and we think, oh, you know, that's why that happened, or, you know. So,
I had a lesson I had to learn.
That's my perspective. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. I had a lesson I had to learn.
Exactly.
Well, guys, we're down to under 5 minutes. We just got a little over 4 minutes left of the show. Dan, do you have any last thoughts would you like to leave with us before Blog Talk shuts us off?
Well, you can get my book on Amazon.com. It's called Let It Be. Get it from Amazon or get it Barnes & Noble. It's both in paperback and Kindle. And I guarantee you, once you start reading it, you won't be able to put it down.
Oh, yeah. Amen. You know, and the other thing I forgot to mention was the video at YouTube. That was amazing. I love that.
Thank you.
That was definitely one of my favorite parts. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that. I wanted to mention that, too. In his book, when y'all read that, there's a link there. Definitely click on that link and go to that YouTube video. It was amazing. You did a wonderful job on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm happy to be part of your in-flight entertainment.
Well, you are welcome to come back anytime.
Okay. Well, Dan, it's been fun. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to talk to you about your wonderful book and share it with readers out there everywhere. People, go buy his book. We got his links everywhere. We got it on the Blog Talk and on our website. So go hook up with Dan, get his book, and get ready to be pulled into a wonderful story. You will not be disappointed.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yep. So. Well, Dan, we better cut this short before Blog Talk shuts us off. So we're going to have you back again sometime, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm so happy you enjoyed the book. And thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, our pleasure. Anytime.
Yes, anytime.
Okay. Good night, Dan.
Good night.
Good night, ladies.
Night.
Well, he is just always such a joy, isn't he?
He is. Oh, yes, he is.
He is.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, before we get shut off here, next week will be our last Halloween-themed show for October, and we're bringing back none other than Brian Moreland. He is going to come back and talk about his wonderful horror books, and I know we're going to have a blast, so be here next week, same time, same place, and get ready to get the bejeebers scared out of you.
Oh, yeah, he's good at that.
It was a pleasure to talk to. We had so much fun last time he was on, so I know we're going to have another
show. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of his, too. So looks like he's doing a lot of traveling, too, so I can't wait to hear about his travel.
Yes. Okay, everybody. Well, Lisa, let's call it a night.
All right. Good night.
Good night, everyone.